2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1. Maybe I'll read the whole chapter. Amen. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Zeba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Zeba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Zeba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Zeba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammi in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammi in Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is the servant? What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Zeba, Saul's servant, said unto him, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and all thy sons and servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in fruits that the master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy servant's son, shall eat bread always at my table. And Zeba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then said Zeba unto the king, according to all that the Lord king hath commanded his servants, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's son. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelled in the house of Zeba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning for the word of God. We thank you for the lessons that we find in David's life. Father God, today we see David as being merciful. Father God, one of his great attributes was being mercy, being full of mercy. Father God, we ask right now that you would bless us with that same thing. We need to be merciful, Father God. Christians ought to be merciful Christians, Father God. Based on the fact that we are saved by your mercy, we ought to be the carriers and the givers of mercy. We ought to be on the lookout, looking for folks and looking for situations where we can show mercy. Father, thank you for your mercy. For you know, Father God, without your mercy, Father God, where would any of us be? Were we saved by your mercy? Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Interesting. When I look at David's life and the lessons we find in David's life, and we started off in Acts 13:22, and Paul was talking about David and as being a man after God's own heart that would do all of God's will. And we start talking about who was this David? What was it about David that made David a man after God's own heart? And in doing that, we have these great lessons that we ought to want to be. We ought to want to be men and women that when someone speaks about us, someone says about any of us, well, that, you know, that man or that woman is a man or woman after God's own heart. What does it consist of? Well, the first lesson we talked about, David had a love for the word. David loved the word of God. And he said, I meditate day and night on God's word. David was a great man of prayer. David loved to pray. And we know Psalms 23 and Psalms 51 were two of the greatest prayers that David prayed. David was a praiser. He loved to praise God. David loved to praise God and speak highly of God. And when you speak highly of God, you ought to sing highly of God. David was a praise warrior. Then last week we talked about this part, and this one just came sort of out of nowhere for me because I hadn't thought about this one. I knew David loved the word of God. I knew David loved prayer. I knew David loved to praise God. But when I seen this, it said David hated every false way. Every false way. So David was a militant. He was a warrior. And if somebody came to David with a false doctrine, a false teaching, David would have had a problem with him. Boy, we need that in the church today. Amen. We need that in the church today. We ought to hate every false way. And a hate, and when I say a hate, not that we want to destroy that person, but we want to correct him. Amen. We want to make sure that person understands. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So when folks come to the church and to the people of God saying, well, there's another way to heaven, and I don't believe this, I don't believe that, those are false ways. Amen. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. Amen. But today, I see David as a man full of mercy. A man full of mercy. And so somebody said, what is mercy? When you think of mercy, we think of, what is mercy? What do you think about when you think of mercy? Kindness. Gentleness. The Bible calls it loving kindness. Pity. Pity. Think about some of the names for hospitals. One of the most popular names for hospitals is what? Mercy Hospital. Mercy General, Mercy Hospital. You know why? Because it's a place where you go and you expect what? Mercy, kindness. You expect the nurses and the aides, and you expect to come in. You got people waiting that can help you. You don't go to Walmart for kindness. The lady working at the service desk at Walmart probably going to treat you a lot different than the lady working at the entrance of the hospital. You would think. You would think. But you think about mercy, think of kindness. David asked for mercy all the time. Now, we ask for mercy all the time, but the difference between David asking for mercy and us asking for mercy sometime, when David asked for mercy, David was full of mercy, and that mercy led him to do what? To be merciful. David said in Psalms 4 and 1, he says this, hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. David needed mercy. Think about this. The greatest king ever lived was in distress. Was in distress. See, we get in distress and somebody said, well, you're in distress because you don't have enough faith. Well, David was a man after God's own heart and God loved David. But David often found himself in distress. And he would often call out to God, Lord, have mercy on me. Psalms 23, and we just talked about Psalms 23. In verse number 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And if goodness and mercy was following David, David had enough mercy to spread. David had mercy. And David showed mercy. And we're going to talk about Mephibosheth. David was looking for an opportunity to spread that mercy. How about that? Psalm 6 and 2, David said, have mercy upon me, O God. For I am what? Weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. How about that? You're a great king. You're a great parent. You're a great leader. You're a supervisor on your job. Whatever you do, you're going to run in a situation where you're going to feel overwhelmed. Amen. You're going to feel overwhelmed. I talk about it, and people, our country right now, so many folks are going through depression. So many folks are depressed, and that's almost common, okay? And I'm not condemning people being depressed, because there's times when I lead a pulpit, and being a pastor can be depressing. You're going to have bouts of depression. All of us do. We may be in denial, but we all do. But the difference for the man of God and the woman of God, we have a God that we can ask God. We can go to God and say, have mercy upon me. Oh, Lord, why? For I'm weak. Oh, Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Here's the greatest king to ever live. People would call down. They would say, Saul's killed his thousands and David his 10,000. It was a great warrior, a great man of God. And guess what he said? For I am weak. Why? Because his strength came from where? From the Lord. And when our strength comes from us, comes from within us, we're going to have problems. We're going to have issues. We're going to have issues. Look at David again. I'm going to give you one more, and I'm going to move on to the story of Mephibosheth. In Psalms 13:5, David said this. He said, but I have trusted in thy mercy. Okay? My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. What is mercy? Somebody said mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. It's God not giving us what we deserve. Listen, in Exodus, when God was telling people who he was, when he was letting the Israelites know who he was, this is how he identified himself. In Exodus 34 and 6, God is letting the people know who he is. Okay? He says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, watch this now, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and in truth. How about that? Isn't that good to know? That not only we have a God that can do anything but fail, but we have a God that is merciful. How about that? Yeah. How about that? Knowing that we have a God that's merciful, and knowing that we have a God that's merciful, when we come into a trial, we come into a situation like David said, for I am weak. And David said, my soul cries out to you. We know we have a God that is merciful. You know what? Folks ain't always merciful. People ain't always merciful. Okay? Your cousin, your brother-in-law, your husband, your wife may not always be merciful. But if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you know that you have a God that's merciful. Amen. Merciful. Here's the story of David. And David was looking. And this is how you know if you got the right stuff. If you know you're full of mercy and you've asked God for mercy, he's giving you mercy, and God's going to give you more than you asked for. Here's David looking for someone to show mercy to. I thought that was unique, and that's probably what draw me to this story. Here's David, been blessed mightily, greatest king ever lived. And watch what David says in verse number 1 of chapter Samuel 2, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, is there yet any left of the house of Saul, watch this now, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? How about that? David, you know, when God blesses us, when we're doing well, and maybe our finances is good, we looking for something to buy, something to spend on ourselves. Plan another vacation, plan a trip, you know, get on Amazon and buy something, order something. Here's David at the height of his kingdom. Great champion, great warrior, great leader, great captain of a great army. And he's not looking for another country to conquer. You know what David's looking for? Someone that he can show mercy to. How about that? Well, he found the right one too. And someone said to David, and David's asking this question in verse 2. He said, and there was of the house of Saul. How about that? House of Saul. Who was Saul? Saul was David's enemy. But Saul had a son named Jonathan that David that David loved. They were like best buds, that we would say today. They was close. They souls were knit together. Okay, you got to be careful with that, because some preachers, fleshly, and they say, well, you know, David and Jonathan had a. No, they didn't have that kind of relationship.
Amen.
The Bible said their souls was knit together. Okay? Their souls was knit together, not their flesh.
Amen.
And he says, and there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziphah. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziphah? And he said, thy servant he is. Now listen to what's happening here. David is looking. He has the eyes of mercy, and he's looking for someone to bless. Someone, is there someone left in Saul's house, meaning Jonathan? Because David had set a covenant with Jonathan that he was going to always take care of Jonathan. And now he's looking to show mercy. He's going to find it too. You don't have to ask God twice. If you're looking to show mercy to someone, let me tell you something. God will show you. Now, here's the story. Here's Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth represents us. How about that? Y'all know that? I know y'all don't like to think like that. Y'all like, I've always had it together. I've never been in a miserable condition. Let me tell you something. When you were unsaved, I don't care how well you was doing. You was in a miserable condition.
Amen.
Okay? You might have been running a bank. You might have been a big-time supervisor. You might have been big shot, big wig, whatever. But without Christ, we're in a miserable condition. Why is that true? Because without Christ, we're on a slippery slope. Okay? And that's a miserable condition. Now he finds Mephibosheth, and then Mephibosheth means, the name of Mephibosheth means what? Shameful. Shameful. What happened to Mephibosheth? Anybody know the story? Okay? Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle, and Saul's other two sons, and the people was on the run. And the nurse grabbed Mephibosheth, picked him up and carried him and dropped him. And he was crippled. He was lame in his two legs. I don't know all the details, but they said he had a fall. He was crippled by the fall. He was made lame by the fall. Now, I don't know if they got trampled or whatever, or she dropped him down into something, a steep hill or something. His legs was crushed. Back then, they didn't have medicine and medical staff or trauma center like they have now. And he probably would have survived. But he was lame because of the fall. Now, think about this. Mephibosheth became lame because of the fall. We became lame because of the fall too. Okay? We became lame because of the fall. Because of Adam's fall, we became crippled. Sin cripples us. We like, I'm walking pretty good. I'm walking pretty good. My legs are strong, and you know, my legs are strong and my legs are still beautiful and all that. You know, listen. Without Christ, you're crippled. Somebody say you're lame, you know. And we use that word lame now. It means somebody who ain't cool. Okay, and you're lame. No, all of us are lames that don't know the Lord. That don't know the Lord. Let me give you a verse. Let me give you a verse about that. I thought I had one. He became lame through the fall. Mephibosheth was in a far country. Okay? Lodabar. Anybody know what Lodabar means? Lodabar means a place without the bread, a place without hope, a place without the word. He was in hiding. How about that? I mean, that don't sound like me. That's what we are. That's what we were before we came to the Lord. We were sinners and we was hiding from our sins. Remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve ate the fruit, found out they was naked, tried to hide. Okay, tried to hide, and God came and said, oh, Adam, he knew where they was at. He said, Adam, where art thou? I don't think Adam answer for a long time. Okay? He didn't answer for a long time. Why? Because he was like Mephibosheth, and in Mephibosheth, the name means shame. Shameful. They were ashamed for what they did. Sin has a way of shaming us. Shaming us. Sin has a way of taking us into that far country. Think about it. He was far away from Jerusalem, far away from blessings, far away from the Lord. He was far away from worship. He was in Lodabar. He was in Lodabar. How many of us in here now, we know folks in Lodabar? Amen. Folks in Lodabar, you know? No worship, no praise, no thought of the things of God. Here's Mephibosheth hiding from God. Why was he hiding? He was hiding from David, really. Because when a new king came over, he killed all the enemy's people. Mephibosheth was the enemy of David, but he didn't know about the covenant that David had with Jonathan. And some of us, when we were lost, we didn't know about the covenant. When we was lost, we didn't know about the covenant. We didn't know. How many knew this verse? How many would have understood this verse? I really had an interesting class today because y'all was bringing up some stuff in Sunday school that was kind of interesting to me and making me think. I'll be sitting there listening to you guys go back and forth. But I thought about this verse. In Romans 10, 5 and 9, it says, and much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Mephibosheth was the enemy. We were too. Watch this. For if when we were what? Enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What were we reconciled by? That covenant. That covenant. When did the new covenant start? When Jesus died on the cross. What happened? The age of grace came in. And through for we are saved. How? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. And our condition was like Mephibosheth. We was lost. We was away from God. Away from the things of God. Look at verse 4 and 5. Look at verse 4 and 5. I'm going somewhere with this. And the king said unto him, where is he? As I have said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir and the son of Ammi in Lodabar. Mephibosheth was hiding. He was hiding. And when God shows up in our life, we talk about light and darkness today. He was in darkness. And God was about to shine light on Mephibosheth. He was being called by the king. Think about it now. When I think about David, I think about this whole story here. David is a type of God. And we're a type of Mephibosheth. And God called us. How many here was lost and was seeking God? None of us. None of us. None of us in here in our lost condition would ever say, you know what, I need to get myself together. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Your flesh would never allow that. Your flesh would never allow that. And some of us look at our loved ones and our friends and our co-workers and say, man, why do these people live like this and act like this and talk like this and do the things that they do? Because that's all the flesh tells them to do. Okay? And if it wasn't for the grace of God, wasn't for the love of God and the mercy of God, we'd be doing what? Same thing. Now, matter of fact, some of us did the same things. And we look at some of the folks that was doing some of the things we did when we was unsaved. Man, some of us, sometimes I have flashbacks. I look at some of the young people on my job and I was like, man, I remember I was young. Okay. You know, God don't let you forget. I remember when I was like that, thought like that. Acted like that, talked like that, but God. But God called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why? We talk about this verse all the time, 1 Peter 2:9, that we may what? Show praises unto him who have called us. God called us to praise him. Now he's going to call Mephibosheth out of that darkness of Lodabar, the darkness of Lodabar, barren place. That's what our world's turning into. You don't sit here and we don't like to talk about it like that because we look at the economy and, you know, we got everything booming and growing and jobs everywhere. But you know what? America is turning into Lodabar. Mm-hmm. America's turning into Lodabar. Why? Because we've taken our eyes off God. Mm-hmm. We've taken our eyes off God, and we've taken our hope. We placed our hope into politicians and presidents and Congress and senators, and we got the midterms, and we got the elections coming up, and we getting ready for 2020, and we're going to vote Trump out. We're going to vote this guy in. Listen, we need to vote God in. Amen. We need to vote God in. And I listen to people, man, and we get excited about our favorite candidate. And we get excited about what's going on, but I'm telling you something now. You better line up what you love. Line up what you're excited about with the scriptures. With the scriptures. Line up what you love with the scriptures. I watched your folks yesterday. It came on. Y'all know it came on. College football. Okay? Folks get excited. Paint it all up. Out there, weather warnings, thunderstorm, they all paint it up. And they're excited about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Amen. Let me tell y'all something. That's Lodabar. We better get excited about things of God. Amen. We better get excited about the things of God. Because I sit here and I see a small number of folks come to church. They say, "Brother, preacher, you preach too long. It's too hot in there. Asking for money. You go to a PB game." I got my girl back there, Kiera. You go to a PB game, you're going to spend more money at a PB football game than you're going to spend in church on Sunday. Okay? You don't come to a PB football game and they ain't giving you hot dogs. And they're not giving you snow cones, and they're not giving you gummy bears. You go over to that little booth, and not only does Satan want all your time, he wants your child, he wants your money, and he wants you to sit out here in this hot sun for 2-3 hours, 4-5 hours sometime. I've been through it. Don't get me wrong. I've been through it. All of us been through it. We're raising kids, and we don't have a problem. We go to a soccer game, and they sit there and watch them play soccer for 2 hours in 95-degree heat. Mephibosheth was blessed by his father's relationship with David. Let me say this. We're blessed the same way. Our blessings come through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Y'all get the connection there. Let me say it again. Mephibosheth received a blessing based on his father's relationship with the king. Our blessings come from our relationship with Jesus, whose father is God. Let me give you a verse. Let's see if I can clear it up a little bit. Titus 3:3. Watch what it says now. "For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, desiring or serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Watch this now. Here's how we saved. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared in the person of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How are we saved? Through a relationship with Jesus Christ. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. One more verse. Verse 6. "Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Just as David received Mephibosheth because of his relationship with Jonathan, God receives us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? Let me say that again. This is important. We talk about David being a man after God's own heart. He was full of mercy. And it says, just as David received Mephibosheth because of his relationship with Jonathan, God receives us because of our relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. Guess what? What's the flip side of that? No relationship with Jesus. Okay? No relationship with Jesus. No relationship with God. I am the way, the truth, in the life, no man comes to the Father but through me. Okay? Okay. How many learned great things when you came to the Father? When you get saved, when you get saved and you understand the love of God, did you not learn how to love? Did anybody consider to say, well, I knew how to love before I got saved? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You knew worldly love. I talk to people all the time. I love you. I love you. I love you. You don't. If you don't know Jesus, man, I can say this with boldness. When I came to understand who Jesus Christ was, I understood how to love. Let me say this. Put somebody on the spot. Dave, did you know how to love before you got saved?
Nope.
See? I had to ask him because I know he's just gonna be brutally honest. This is truth. When you understand who Jesus Christ and how much he loved you, when you understand John 3:16, then you realize how to love. You realize how to love. Listen. Why must we be merciful? David was merciful. Why must we be merciful? If we are children of God, why must we be merciful? How about that? Anybody ever thought? I ask some questions in a sermon, but why is it so important that we be merciful? Because he is merciful. The Bible says that God is merciful. Okay? Listen. Paul says this, Ephesians 2. And this is our salvation experience, okay? And this ought to resonate with us. It says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's us. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And let me tell you something, I know something about that, okay? Among whom also we had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, here's one of those huge, and Andy and I talk about it. Here's one of the biggest but gods in the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? And it talks about our reason to be merciful. But God, who is rich in mercy. How about that? Overflowing, abundantly rich in mercy. So you know, you talk to people for a little while, you get in a conversation with people, and they'll tell you what they're rich in. Oh, and they'll tell you, I'm working a double, I'm working overtime, I made this much money, I'm making this much money. Let me tell you something. They'll tell you they're rich in a whole lot of things. But you ever heard somebody tell you they're rich in mercy? Mm-hmm. Have you ever met someone and said, you know what, I'm rich in mercy? How about that? Well, let me think, listen. Listen, if the church was rich in mercy and the people of God was rich in mercy, there'd be a whole lot less suffering in the world.
Amen.
But we rich in stuff, okay? We rich in stuff that we're going to leave behind. We're going to be rich in stuff that we're going to leave behind. That's all I hear. When I hear the story of the rich young ruler running to Jesus, he was rich. Mm-hmm. He was rich in stuff. And God wanted him to be rich in mercy. He said, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Come follow me. Use your riches to bless someone. And then come follow me. He had no mercy. Think about it. Some of y'all been watching funerals all weekend. 8-hour affairs. Okay. They say Netflix is going to make a series out of them two funerals. But think about this now. And ain't nothing wrong with being rich. Ain't nothing wrong with having $80 million. Ain't nothing wrong with having $80 million and not leaving a will. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? And then I thought about this. In Luke 16 and 19, y'all know the story of the rich young ruler? The rich man and Lazarus. Think about this. What was his problem? His problem wasn't being rich. I don't want nobody to think his problem wasn't being rich. The reason why he went to hell wasn't because he was rich. Okay? See if you can pick it up. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. full of sores, meaning full of needs, okay? Full of needs, full of sores, full of problems, and desiring to be fed from with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. How about that? And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. The rich man also died and had a big time funeral. All the big shots was there. Okay? And they don't wrong with having big shots at your funeral. All right? But watch verse number 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off in Lazarus' bosom. Why was this rich man in hell? Somebody take a shot. You don't got to say it out loud. Say it to yourself. Here's why. Because God's word answers it. He had no mercy. He had no mercy. God had blessed him with everything. He fared sumptuously every day. The fact that he wore purple every day, man, he changed clothes every day. Okay? They say Aretha Franklin changed clothes 4 times. That's fine. Here's why the rich man is in hell. Not because he was rich. Not because he changed clothes 4 times. Here's why he was in hell. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. Well, that might be one reason. He had the wrong God. Have mercy on me. Huh? You show no mercy. And now when you inhale, you ask it for mercy. Be careful. We ought to be merciful. We ought to show pity and compassion. We ought to be looking for folks to be kind to. How can I be kind in a situation? How can I help somebody today? How can I help somebody today? Watch this. I'm going to close with this. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. How about that? Thou art tormented. Why was he tormented? He had no mercy. He had no mercy. Let me give you these last 2 reasons why we ought to be merciful. I want you guys to be merciful. And I'll speak to myself too. Micah 6 says this. God commands us to be merciful. You might know this. This is the reason why I just go straight down the text. I want to give you these Bible verses because God commands us to be merciful. To be a child of God and not be merciful is impossible, for lack of a better word. It's impossible to say, I'm a child of God and God is full of mercy. He's a God of mercy. I'm a child of God and I have no mercy. It's impossible. He said, wherewith shall I come before God and bow before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? All your offering, bring your money. God, I don't care about all that. Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of oils? Those were the offerings of that day. You would give rams and oil. That was like big money. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God, all that, you can bring all that, you know, your firstborn. You know, I'm talking about your calf. And you think that's going to set you free? Watch what God says. Watch what God says. Here's what it takes. Here's what it takes. He has showed the old man, watch this now, what is good. And what do the Lord require of thee? Here's what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly and to love mercy. What made David a man after God's own heart? David loved mercy. And to love mercy, not to just receive it, It's to show it and to give it. Now, I know Cindy ain't here, and I'm not blowing her horn or anything because that's her thing. But when she found out the difference of family and her own family, and they had three babies that was in children's services and needed a home, man. Some people know, that's her thing. But yeah, that's just mercy. Hey, look, you know what? I'll take them kids in. It's going to cost me something. It's going to cost her something. I asked her a couple times. You know what you're getting into. Okay? Mainly because I had to give up my bathroom. But that's what mercy does. Mercy is not something you receive all the time. Mercy sometimes is just looking for opportunities to show the love of God. How about that? Let me read that last part again. Oh man, what is good and what do the Lord require of thee? Watch this now. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy Lord. How about that? How about that? Let me give you one more reason why you should love, why you should be merciful. This might be tops on the list. This may be tops on the list. You know what? One day you're going to need it.
Amen.
One day you're going to need it. And you know what God may say? Why should I show you mercy, Margaret, when you ain't showed nobody no mercy? Why should I show you mercy, Matthew, when you haven't showed any mercy to no one? Now you need mercy. See? And this is the problem that the rich man had when he got to hell. He said, well, have mercy on me. And see, and we think God is okay, rich man, I have mercy on you. You know, you stay in hell for a few more years and I'll pop you out, like purgatory or something like that. But that ain't what he said. He said, Well, if you can't show me mercy, show my family mercy, send Lazarus to them. He said, no, I ain't sending Lazarus to them. So us not showing mercy can have serious consequences.
Amen.
Because we gonna need some mercy. Somebody need mercy right now. Somebody in here right now need God, I need your mercy. James 2:2-13 says, For he shall have judgment. I'm gonna give y'all time to write this down. Because this is huge. And James was preaching to his church, just like I'm standing here now. James 2:13. He says, for he shall have judgment without mercy. How about that? Could you imagine being judged without mercy? For he shall have judgment without mercy that have shown no mercy. Wow. Wow. I believe what God is saying in his word is that when you stand before God, he's going to judge us a lot on how much mercy we've shown. How much mercy we've shown. Let me read this whole script verse. It's just one verse. For he shall have judgment without mercy that have shown no mercy. Oh, you better be merciful. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You know what? If you've been merciful, forget all that you've I've kept all the commandments. Let me tell you something. What Jesus told the rich young ruler, get up out of here with that. You can keep them all. You ain't kept them all, so you're just lying. But you can keep all the commandments. You can do all the right things. You can dot all your I's and cross all your T's. But if you can show no mercy, if you don't have a compassionate heart, if you don't have kindness in your heart, and you don't have pity for folks, okay? Well, we've been talking about this on Wednesday night. Knowledge puff it up. You have all knowledge in the world, no mercy. You're hell-bound. And that's based on the scripture. Mercy rejoices against judgment. God can sit there and judge. You can do all kinds of stuff wrong. And you can stand before God and God, I've been a bad boy. But one thing I did and I excelled in, showing mercy to your people. Well, I love the babies. Jackie showing him mercy. When they get older, you got to put them on sermon audio and listen to some of the sermons. Say, listen how bad y'all was in church when y'all was little. They'll laugh at it. A lot of times I listen to sermons and I'll hear Deacon Nails when he was here and my father laughing in the background. It was just, it's interesting. Listen, mercy makes us happy. Okay? You know, I get on Vernon because one of Vernon's favorite songs is Happy People. Okay? And he said, happy. Mercy makes us happy. You want to be happy? Some of us in here right now, we sad. We upset. And we bitter. And we worry about stuff that we should have done and didn't do and all kind of stuff. Why? Because we know in the heart of hearts, just a little mercy in that situation would have made it better. Okay? Proverbs 14:21. He that despises his neighbor sinneth. But he that had mercy on the poor, watch this now, happy. Happy is he. You want to be happy? You want to be happy. Some people running around here, miserable. Lips all poked out, just miserable. Show some mercy. The story of the Good Samaritan, happy. He was happy. I believe when he left, he was happy. Because he had the opportunity to show mercy. For the child of God, that ought to make us happy. For the child of God, I was able to show mercy, you know. That's why I love when Blanche bring me all that bread and stuff, day old bread, you know. I can show mercy for the kids. They come, call chap. They call it chap food. Call chap, see if you got any chap food. You got any chap food? They be starving. And I get an opportunity to talk to them. I say, you miss being home, don't you? You know. Especially little white kids coming from Wooster, from the suburbs, and they used to go into double door refrigerators. You know, the kids from the hood, they had one of them little apartment refrigerators they stole from the hotels. But the kids from the suburbs, they come, they starving, and they can't have nothing because the brothers from the hood take everything the white kids get. So the white kid come in, he got his food bag, like, give me that. They just hand it off. I say this. I hope some white folks are listening to the CD. Don't let your white kids go to prison. I ain't saying it's a good place for black kids, but, you know. It's really a bad place for white kids, okay? Because the brothers just, you ain't having nothing, okay? It's just true. Okay, but what I try to say is, listen. I get an opportunity with the bread and I see the kids. Show them some love. They miss me. They don't really care about me. They like food. Well, I always say something I probably shouldn't say on this tape, but Jackie can take that home and say y'all. I heard Pastor Neil say today don't y'all go to prison. They've already know it ain't a good place for nobody. Amen. For nobody.